Amen. Okay, so John chapter 7. I'd like to look at verse 24, which is a verse we're going to focus on specifically. So John chapter 7 and verse 24, which reads, "Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment." And the title of my sermon today is Choosing Jobs, Hobbies and Entertainment. Choosing Jobs, Hobbies and Entertainment. Let's go to the Lord in another quick word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this church building. Thank you for all the people here. Please just fill me with your spirit now. Please help me to just preach accurately, boldly. Help me to preach the message that you've laid on my heart, that I feel you've laid on my heart today. And help people to just have understanding ears and hearts and want to apply this to their lives as well. In Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen. Amen. I got asked a question the other day while we're doing some of this work by someone. Just asked me a question, something that I hadn't actually heard for a long time. I've been sort of surrounded by probably very like-minded believers for a long time. It was just someone who from a different church background had asked this question as well. And the question was, what's the biblical view, or what's your view on things like fight sports? And it was something that, you know, I thought, actually, that's probably a good shout for something that could be talked about, among other things, because I've been asked recently, people have asked questions about jobs and about other hobbies, and do you think this is okay, and what do you think about this sort of job? So, it made me think, well, yeah, that's something that we need to preach about, don't we? Something that needs preaching. People kind of have a few questions about these sorts of things, and there's a lot of bad teaching out there, isn't there? There's a lot of funny sorts of teachers out there that make their own rules up as they go along. But we're to judge righteous judgment, aren't we? That's what Jesus said here. So it's something I want to talk about today. And like I said, there are a lot of decisions that we make in life that aren't necessarily black and white. That it doesn't say thou shalt or thou shalt not in the Bible, so we make a judgment on it, don't we? And we have free will to make a judgment on many things, but especially in these areas of life, I think this is a common question, a common thing: jobs, hobbies, entertainment, those sorts of things. So with that in mind, let's have a look down at John chapter 7 and just see what's been going on here. So it says in verse 14, John 7, 14. "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught." Okay, so the Feast of Tabernacles, by the way, is an 8-day feast. So this is after 4 days. "And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me?" So he's pointing out the hypocrisy here, yeah? The people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" Did you hear that there? They said, "Thou hast a devil." They've just called Jesus Christ possessed. Possessed with a devil. Let's just quickly just put that in context, what that means when someone says that. If you turn over to Mark chapter 3, but keep a finger there. So they just said, the people answered and said, "Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee?" So Mark chapter 3 and from verse 28, Jesus said this, Mark 3:28, "Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Because they said, he hath an unclean spirit." Now, just so you understand this point here, he's not saying, right, if you're saved and you said this, you lose your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life." You have everlasting life the second you put your faith in Jesus Christ. What he's saying here is that people are able to be forgiven. Yeah, people are able to be forgiven through faith in Jesus Christ. Ultimately, yeah, up until their dying day, except for certain situations. One of those situations is someone that has blasphemed the Holy Spirit by calling Jesus Christ possessed and saying he has a devil. The second you're doing that, you're given over to a reprobate mind. Okay, you are unable to be saved. You are done. You're done and dusted. Same as if you're adding and removing words from the Bible. Same as obviously if you're changing the truth of God into a lie, etc., and all those things which go along with Romans 1. These are what we call reprobates. Okay, reprobates, and that's someone that cannot be saved. So he's not saying you can lose your salvation. But these people that we've just seen it over in John chapter 7, they're saying that he has a devil. So these are reprobates that he's talking to, yeah? Okay, he's talking to reprobates here. Go back to John 7 and verse 21. Where it says, Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me, because I made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? So he's saying that where circumcision was done on the eighth day. Yeah, I think most people probably understand that. You know, the Old Testament law there was that a child was to be circumcised on the eighth day. Now that would often, obviously, there's a 1 in 7 chance that that's going to fall on a Saturday, which was the Sabbath day. When it fell on a Saturday, they still circumcised them. That was a choice they made to do. They still circumcised them. Now, keep a finger there and turn back to John 5, which is the person he's talking about here. The person that they're saying he healed. He's referring to this man from John chapter 5. Again, keep a finger there though. We're going to John 5 and from verse 15. So he's just healed what's called an impotent or an invalid, basically. Okay, he's just healed this guy. And verse 15 says, John 5:15, the man departed, told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So basically, how ridiculous that they want to kill him for healing a man. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, isn't it? He's just healed an invalid, and they want to kill him. But even more so, considering where we were, that was just a reference. Go back to where we were in John 7. It said in verse 19, did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you keepeth the law. Why go ye about to kill me? So they had decided that circumcision on the eighth day was okay. That was their choice to make. They think they've judged righteous judgment. Yet they're saying you can't heal a man on the Sabbath day. How absolutely bizarre, isn't it? Absolutely bizarre. But people do this, don't they? They make their own rules up. They decide what they think is okay and what isn't. Verse 24, where we were in John 7, says, he said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. So Jesus Christ says, just basically saying, how ridiculous, yeah? How ridiculous that I've just healed a guy and you want to kill me because I healed a guy. Now, obviously, these are reprobates, yeah? But many people, look, they don't have to be a reprobate to just get these sorts of areas completely wrong, okay? And that, like I said, there's a lot of bad teaching out there. So how do we judge righteous judgment when it comes to areas like work, hobbies, entertainment? Because there are basically two sides of the scale with this. If you've ever spoken to either Christians or so-called Christians, as we call them, you've got the liberal evangelical type, the sort of the world is there for you to enjoy. If it feels good, do it. No bother at all. Forget all those rules and laws and just do what you like. Yeah, do what you like. You're saved. It's grace, man. You're in grace. Yeah, so you've got that type. Then you've got the hypocritical make your own rules type. Yeah, the holier than now that we see in all areas of Christianity. And a lot of the time they're absolutely wicked, yet they still like to pretend they're not and make their own rules up. Okay, and then we've got everywhere in between. Yeah. But we want to judge righteous judgment, yeah? Okay, everyone here, I hope, is thinking, no, I want to judge righteous judgment. I don't want to be influenced by this or influenced by that. Well, how do we judge righteous judgment? Where does righteousness come from? Where does righteous judgment come from? The Word of God, doesn't it?
Amen.
Yeah, the Word of God. That's where it comes from, the Word of God. But like we said, it's not always a thou shalt and thou shalt not, is it? It's not always, and I know some of you here have done this, when you Google, what does the Bible say about, yeah, okay, you're not necessarily going to get a clear verse in it, are you? You might get someone who tries to claim it's a clear verse in it, but it's not necessarily a clear verse in it. Okay, so what do you do? Well, what do I do about this? Because the Bible doesn't even mention this. What do I do about it? Well, you know what you can do? Make sure you read your Bible, because the more you're in the Word of God, the more you're going to be able to judge righteous judgment.
Yes.
The more you read the Word of God, and the more you live the Word of God as well. Yeah, it's like I've said many times, it's not just reading the Word of God. Now, in the first area that we want to know about this is choosing a job. Okay, how about choose your job? Because there are kids here that are going to be choosing a job soon. They're unemployed here, I'm sure. There are people that maybe are thinking about changing jobs. So how do you choose a job which you think is okay with God? And a lot of, I just need God's will. I'll put the fleece out and see if it's got dew on it. Or I'll do something. Maybe God's going to give, God, just give me a sign, you know. And then you see a workman walk. Oh, okay, right, that's it. It's building, yeah. Okay, but is that the way we really should do it? No, we just want to judge righteous. We have free will to choose a job, yeah? You all have free will, okay? But what sort of things? Well, the first thing you need to do is strike off the clear, commanded no type of jobs, right. Yeah? Okay? And there are some clear jobs that we shouldn't do. It doesn't say, thou shalt not do this job, but there are some things that we shouldn't be doing, aren't there, in the Bible? Okay, so first things first, let's turn to Proverbs 23. And many of you will probably know why we're turning to Proverbs 23. Some of you might not. Don't worry if you don't. Because Proverbs 23 makes it clear that you cannot be getting a job that involves alcoholic drinks.
Amen.
Okay? You want to be nowhere near a job that involves alcoholic drinks. Proverbs 23 and from 29, verse 29 says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his colour in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. That means don't look at alcoholic wine. That means don't look at fermented grape juice. That means don't look at any fermented juice. That means don't look at alcoholic drinks, yeah? That's pretty clear, wouldn't you say? Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its colour in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. That means you can't sell it. That means you can't serve it, because you can't do any of that without looking at it, can you? Okay? And why would you want to? Why would you want to give that to someone? Yeah? Why would you want to be involved in any sort of industry where you're serving people up this poison in a bottle, poison in a glass, poison in a can? Yeah? It's horrible, isn't it? It wrecks lives. It ruins lives. We all know it ruins lives. Why would you want to be involved in an industry that does that? Okay? And there are many industries that do it. It's not just, okay, well, I can't be a bartender. What about a waiter or waitress at a restaurant? People get smashed when they drink meals. I've seen it many times, yeah? And there are many other places, aren't there? Do you want to work in an off-license serving booze? Do you want to work? Now, okay, now some people would say, well, should you really be working behind a checkout in a supermarket, ringing through the beers for people, ringing through the vodkas and everything else? I would say no. I don't think so. And again, if you think there's a reason why you could justify it, tell me. I don't want to serve alcohol. I don't want to look at it. I'm told not to even look at it. Woe unto thee that giveth his neighbour drink. Yeah, so why do I want to give anyone alcohol and get involved with that? So that crosses off quite a lot of jobs, doesn't it? But isn't that good? Oh, well, yeah, but that's the only thing my kid's going to get is a Saturday job. Well, get him another, find something else. There are other things out there, yeah? So why? Why though? Why not alcohol? It's not that bad, is it? Yeah, just you drink a little bit to get relaxed. You know, there's responsible drinkers, aren't there, out there? Because verse 32 says, at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. And that's the results of alcohol. Why do you want to get involved with that rubbish? I've been working here, as you know, this week, and I've been doing some late nights here and doing some stuff in the car park. And we have a pub right across the road there, don't we? Oh, wow. The stuff I've seen, the stuff I've heard, people... on one day, we had a guy in the middle of the day wander into the car park, and I heard him, and I heard him, went out, and the guy's about to urinate just in our car park. What are you doing? You caught me out. What do you mean I caught you out? What are you doing? Oh, you caught me out. I was just gonna, you know, go for a whatever. And then, I was like, what are you doing? That's disgusting. Oh, sorry. It walks off, yeah? Not long after, you know, next guy starts shouting something across the road and they're outside, you know. outside the pub. You're just thinking, wow, just seeing that is reason enough.
Yeah.
And another guy, the other day, we had some broken chairs, smashing them with a mallet. Why don't you give those to charity instead of smashing them up? Yeah? So, I've got them. Oh, yeah, you're welcome to if you like. Why don't you can ring them up. Yeah, I'll tell you what, come and get them. Or you can call them up, they'll come and collect it. You know, you're like, well, how about you call them up? Yeah, I'll tell you what, they're broken, they're mouldy, but if you want to, go, and then that's the end. Like, he's actually, that was a holier than now alcoholic, yeah? That's a holier than now alcoholic outside a pub. And don't, I mean, that, those, I mean, that pub has got some characters, isn't it? But why would you want to get involved in anything that the result is that? And so many, like, so many of those guys, they probably started off as teenage kids and their parents going, hey, well, they can have a little drink. Oh, it's all right, isn't it? I'll buy you the beer. Oh, you're 15 now, I'll buy it, 16 or whatever it is. It's all right, I'll buy it for you. Yeah, as long as you just have a bit of fun with your mates. And look at the state of them now. Look at the state of those guys, yeah? They are like the picture of ill health, aren't they? And the rest that goes with it. So, obviously, we don't want to get involved in anything that involves alcohol. Turn to Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12. Okay, Proverbs 12:22 reads, lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. See that again. Lying lips are abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. Abomination is something he hates, yeah? He despises. He hates lying lips. Yeah. And let's be honest, a lot of people lie a lot, don't they? A lot of people, it's just their reaction. Just lie. Just lie. They're just, the lies just come out of their mouth, get them out of whatever it is, try and argue a point or anything else. Lie, lie, lie. Well, that means you don't want to be getting a job where you need to be dishonest in that job, where your boss wants you to be dishonest, where you can't not be dishonest. You don't want to get a job where you have to lie. Now, that for me would cut out probably a lot of sales type jobs. Not all of them, but there's a lot of sales jobs where it's just barefaced lies, isn't it? Well, just tell them this. Just tell them. They're just lying about their product, lying about many things. A lot of advertisement is just lying, isn't it? Yeah, so again, look, I'm not going to list, there's not a job that, you can't do it. Look, but you need to judge righteous judgment, don't you? Yeah, and you need to be wise about that. You don't want to get into a job, invest a lot of interest in something where there's a big chance you're going to have to be dishonest, you're going to have to be lying. Anything in the news media is pretty much ruled out then, isn't it? Yeah, anything in our lying mainstream media, I don't think you want to really be getting involved with. Any sort of job in any form of government, I think that pretty much rules out, doesn't it, as well? I mean, you might find some that doesn't, but I think that's a lot of it. But there are a lot of unscrupulous companies, not just sales, things like that. I mean, you think about it, what about the guys that knock around your house and start telling you, oh, you got a tile off on your roof, you know? Next thing you know, it's a $5,000 bill or something else. I'm not saying you can't be a roofer, but be aware of who you're working for as well, yeah? You don't want to be working for people like that. You don't want to be there ripping people off, being dishonest, being told, well, don't tell them, but actually, there was only a couple of chip tiles, but we're going to tell it, or whatever it is. Look, you want to make sure, and when someone does that, you need to be saying, no, I'm not lying, yeah? Make a stand. Like, and obviously, you could think about 100 different jobs. And I hope people aren't in jobs right now where they need to lie at times to keep their job or to impress their boss. And if you are, you need to cut out the lying. And if you can't do that in that job, you need to find a new job, don't you? Because it's an abomination to the Lord. Lying lips are abomination. Not just, oh, well, lying. Look, yeah, we've played it down in our world now, haven't we? And I remember when I was growing up, I remember adults. And whether, obviously, they were lying, but they would say, I do not lie, my word is my bond. Yeah, what I say, don't you dare call, people used to get really, don't you dare call me a liar, you know, don't, I will not, I do not lie. And people used to try and live like that. Yeah, they used to try, now, obviously they failed, yeah, everyone's lied, didn't they? Yeah, but people tried, yeah, and people had some integrity about that, where they wanted to at least try their best not to be a liar. But nowadays, it's just, yeah, just lie. I've heard Christians, I've heard people around this church before, walk past, they go, no, just say this. Why don't you just say this to that person? Why don't you just say this to that person in your job or this and that? Why don't you not? Why don't you realise that the Bible says it's an abomination? You talk to people, I've talked to Christians, who you ask something or talk to them, or maybe you pull them up on something, first thing's a lie, straight out of the mouth. Lie, get out of it, lie, just automatic lie. It's wicked. Yeah, it's wicked. And you know when you talk to someone, you're like, look, we both know you're lying, yeah? I know you're lying, you know you're lying, but I can't prove you're lying, so we just have to play this game. Yeah, we have to play this game where we have to pretend that you didn't lie because I can't prove you're lying. How frustrating is that? But how many of us can do that? Yeah, every Christian is able to do that. Let's just cut. Look, and we want to make sure we're not going into a job where you have to do that, yeah? Amen. It's abomination to the Lord. Turn to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And from verse 11, so obviously this is about people that are not welcome in a church. 1 Corinthians 5:11 says, "But now I've written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother," okay, remember this is talking about Christians, "be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, know not to eat." So if we're told not to keep company and you're told that you're going to be kicked out of the church if you are one of those, that rules out a few jobs there, doesn't it, as well? For you, what about a railer? Again, that's the news media out again, isn't it? Yeah. So if half of what you see in the news media is railing on someone or something. Railing is always dishonest, okay? It's dishonest, lies, slander, etc. What about extortioner? So we talked about this before, debt collectors. Now, look, it's not that every debt collector is an extortioner, but some are extorting people, aren't they? Some are, you owed a few quid, you couldn't pay it, and next thing you know, they're adding on £500 and sending people around to remove your goods, taking away your bed, etc. Yeah? Okay, it's wrong, isn't it? Yeah, it's wrong. What about, like we said, car clampers? And again, look, some people we have a private car park here. If we didn't have a gate there, you can imagine that would get pretty annoying, wouldn't it? Because there would be people parking it. Southend, it seems you have to pay for parking until midnight on a Sunday or something. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous around here. But look, yeah, maybe we'd clamp someone. Maybe it'd be worth getting a clamping company in, but I wouldn't be getting a clamping company that's charging them £500, £600,000. How about, look, signs up and a clamp for and giving them like a reasonable release. Maybe the price of double parking for the day or something like that, and tell them, look, just don't do it, because that's what you got to do. I don't know. So, but look, there are sometimes reasons for it, but there's a big difference between that and some of those firms which are literally, they're towing away your car because you've parked in the wrong place and didn't read the sign. People that are just giving you these huge bills because you didn't see the small print that said that you couldn't stop there for longer than 10 minutes or something. I mean, that's just extortion, isn't it? And a lot of the time it's dishonest as well at the same time, isn't it? And look, with that, extortion or covetousness, there's a lot of like loan type companies. Some of the finance industry is wicked, isn't it?
Yeah.
And again, you need to be making sure that the company you're working for, that you're not having to do any of that sort of stuff. And you should do some due diligence, shouldn't you? And I know you're starting to think, this is kind of narrowing down. Can I even get a job? Self-employed, that's about it, isn't it? Well, look, I'm not saying that, but you should at least do some diligence, shouldn't you? Okay, I'm not saying they're not going to be dishonest. Yeah, most people sadly are, aren't they?
Yeah.
But you want to make sure you don't have to in your place of work. Yeah, there's nothing that you're doing which is partaking in any of these sorts of sins. Obvious no-brainers would be nothing to do in the abortion clinic. Yeah, obviously. Yeah, nothing to do with that industry at all. Thou shalt not kill. Amen. Okay, it's murder, plain and simple. Life starts at conception. Amen. We don't have to go into a study to prove that today. It's clear as day in the Bible, is it not? No. Anyone who's unsure about that, then please, you're happy to talk to you afterwards. Obviously, nothing to do with that. But here's a contentious one. Okay, say you, let's give a recent example. Say you lived in Cambodia, yeah, during the reign of Pol Pot. Anyone not aware of who that is? Actually, no one's going to want to put their hand up now. Okay. Oh, yeah, no, exactly. Okay, so basically, this was like a wicked Marxist dictator. You're talking about, massive murders, and this is a wicked, wicked person, and his army was a wicked army.
Yeah.
Okay, now say you lived during that period, you're a Christian, would joining his army have been okay? Would that have been all right? No? Okay, so he's going around murdering people. I don't think this is just based on our news media. I think it's pretty common knowledge that was a wicked regime. Okay, there are wicked regimes. And you could think about many wicked regimes throughout history. Now, you might be a Christian already in the army, okay? And then, we'll talk about that in a minute. But say, would you just join that? No. Okay, how about you were saved in... say you're saved in modern-day false Israel, okay? And say you're saved in Israel and you now think, yeah, well, I wouldn't mind. And you're not... Maybe you're beyond conscription. I think they make them join, don't they? Military service. But say you choose. You decide, okay, I'm going to join the army and start shooting Palestinians that throw stones and I'm going to start displacing people out of homes because we've decided we're... Would that be okay? Think that would be okay? I don't think that would be okay. I don't think that would be an okay job. Okay, so I think everyone agrees with that. What's your tipping point then for the military? What's your tipping point? Because what about our military here? Oh, fine, upstanding people. Give me a poppy now. Give me a poppy to show my support for our UK military. Well, what about if you're in Iraq and you're responsible for the murder of about a million Iraqi children and families? Is that okay? If you know the politics of it. And I don't think you don't have to be the brain of Britain, do you, to realise that that was just basically grabbing land, taking over an economy, taking over a nation with some blatant lies about weapons of mass destruction. I mean, I don't think this is even open for debate anymore, is it? I think people just accept it and just forget that, you know, brush that one under the carpet, you know. But they must be telling the truth about other wars, yeah? Well, so what about half the rest of the ones that claim weapons of mass destruction and the rest of it? So would that be okay? Yeah. Because when you're joining that, you're basically part of that, aren't you? And now you're being, oh, well, it's warfare. Is it really warfare, though? Is it warfare when you just invade a country? It's no threat to yours, okay? Sometimes, look, in an army, you're going to have to fight. But look, when you look, you want to at least do some due diligence about what you're joining, don't you?
Yeah.
For me, I that's what I think. Now, turn to Luke chapter 3. I would say bombing Iraqi women and children, that's just a recent example, because I don't think there's any debate about the lies that sent people there and the amount of innocent civilians that got killed. I would say just because you've got a uniform on with either a Union Jack on it or any other Western nation flag, I don't think that makes it okay. Luke 3 and verse 10, they're getting saved, yeah, and baptised by John, and he's telling them to live right, okay? So they're getting saved and baptised, he's telling them how they should live, how they should go on and live for God. Now, what if you're already in the military, yeah? What if you're already in the military and you're asked to do these things? What if you get saved and you're in the military? So what do you do? Well, sometimes it's not so easy though, is it? Sometimes, you know, you're on a contract and things like that, and you have some problems with that. Well, stay in it if you can do it without sinning. I'm not saying, look, if you think you can do a job in the military, maybe you can maybe transfer to a different regiment or something else, but you feel that you can do that job without sinning, then look, sure, but we shouldn't be aiming to sin, should we? We shouldn't be saying, oh, well, it doesn't matter, I'm already there now. And what did Jesus say? Or at least John here, sorry. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? Luke 3, verse 10. He answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized and said unto him, Master, what shall we do? Now, these were tax collectors. What does he say to them? And he said unto them, exact no more than that which is appointed you. So no more extortion. Yeah? Don't extort people. You stay in a job and not extort people. Go ahead, look, there's taxes. Is taxes wicked? Joseph implemented taxes, didn't he? Okay, I don't think taxes themselves are wicked. It's how you go about collecting them, what they do with them and everything else that's wicked, isn't it? Okay, verse 14, the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? And he said unto them, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Okay, now, when it says do violence to no man, oh, right, well, they can't fight, no. Violence here, if you turn to Genesis 6, let's have a quick look at this. Genesis chapter 6. And from verse 9, Genesis 6, 9 says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Okay, is he going to destroy them because maybe they're having play fights too much? Maybe they're, you know, maybe a few people have gone around and slapped someone around the face or something else. No, he's talking about wickedness. Yeah. Okay, violence, that's the first use of the word in the Bible. It was so wicked that he destroyed them. And bear in mind, he commands his children, as the children of Israel, to go out and kill many nations. Right. Okay, so it's, going to war is violent. He's talking about like wicked violence. He's talking about all sorts of filth and disgusting and horrible things. That's the usage of the word violence here. It's not saying, like the world uses it now, that anything that's not just complete passive and never saying boo to a goose, okay? So back where we were. the violence caused God to destroy the world with a flood, to destroy everything in it, binding the people in the ark. That's the sort of violence. He said, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. Because, of course, the pacifists love to go to this as if, like, all right, you can't, you know, you can never defend yourself or anything else. Well, he's in the army. So he's saying, don't basically go around abusing people, beating them, doing wicked things because you have the power of being in the army. Now, or being a soldier. Now, like I said, obvious exceptions would be actual warfare, wouldn't they? Okay, actual warfare against other trained soldiers, okay? I don't consider that, for me, like, otherwise it goes against things like Romans 13 and other things. That's not murder, okay? That's not murder. We're going around just killing innocent civilians is. Okay, he said, do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. So, don't falsely accuse. Again, that rules out most of the UK's military campaigns, or at least those that are involved in that part of it and the falsely accusing and everything else. He's saying, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. So what's this about being content with your wages? We'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. So you're saved, you're in a job, be content with your wages. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, while you're turning, I'm going to read Matthew 6:24, which says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon.
Amen.
So looking for a job that will provide for your family is sensible, isn't it? Yeah, that's a sensible thing. Oh, well, I better go and get the lowest paid job so I'm not focusing on money. No, look, you want to be able to provide for your family, provide for yourself, provide for whatever it is that you need to do. But focusing on money is where it goes wrong, isn't it? If your focus, the top of your list is, right, money, which is the highest paid job, you're going to have a problem, aren't you, in life, okay? That's the problem. And obviously, when you're in a job and you're being paid, you need to be content with your wages. Okay, well, 1 Timothy 6:9 says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. We need to learn contentment, don't we? Yeah, we need to learn contentment, because many people aren't content with that, are they? They're not content. They want more. And look, once you start getting into that snare chasing money, it's never enough. Verse 9, but they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So basically, if you're obsessed, if your goal is to be rich, they that will be rich, you fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So, like I said, look, yeah, we need money to live, don't we? Yeah, you're focusing on being rich. The Bible says it's going to go wrong for you, okay? And that's the important thing to remember when we're raising our kids as well. Why is that? Well, verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. The Bible's clear, isn't it, about that?
Yes.
Yeah, really clear about that. Yet how many people will still be focusing money, money, money? How do I get more money? Do you really need that money? Is it really going to make a difference to your life? I'll tell you, it will make a difference. It will make a negative difference if that's what you're seeking after, that's what you're chasing after. So looking for a job, obviously, that doesn't need to be our focus. So as long as a job isn't obviously sinful, yeah, as long as we're not just focusing on money, well, how about a job though? Because is that okay? Is that all? Well, how about a job that keeps you from church? How about you choose a job, you go for a job, your job prevents you going to church? Is that okay?
No.
Hebrews 12:24 says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto, you don't have to turn, everyone knows these verses, unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Look, the Bible's clear about that, isn't it? We should not be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So if your job does that, you need to think either how you can change that job, how you can get a new job, how you can do something with that job so that it doesn't keep you from church. Yeah. Otherwise, you're in sin. Yeah? And if you're choosing a job that does that, well, you're out of God's will, aren't you? Straight away. Okay? You're not going to be blessed for that. It's not going to go well for you because God wants us in church. Hey, look, it doesn't have to be this church. Well, everyone's got to find it. Look, go to another church if you like, as long as it's a proper church. Yeah, as long as it's a proper church. What about a job that keeps you away from your family? How about that? Is that okay? Okay, it doesn't say thou shalt not get a job that, well, let's judge righteous judgment with that. Turn to Proverbs chapter 4. While you turn there, I'm going to read Ephesians 6:4, which says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." That's fathers having a hand in raising their kids, yeah? Okay, clearly. Look at Proverbs chapter 4 and from verse 1. Proverbs 4:1 reads, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." So going off and working on an oil rig, because it pays you well, oh well no, because they got a little church group meeting there or something else, wouldn't be okay, would it? Yeah, and look, by the way, that doesn't mean, right, guys, you've got to look for a part-time job. You've got to look for a part-time job on your doorstep. Because I see in the Bible, I see 12-hour days. Yeah, I see basically every time they're talking about men going out and working, they're working 12-hour days. I'm not saying, okay, man, you've got to go and find 12-hour shift jobs as well. What I am saying is judge righteous judgment with that. Okay, don't look at that and go, all right, that's it. Now I need to, okay, part-time job, as long as we have food and raiment, but we don't have a roof over our head and we don't have anything else. Look, I'm saying just try and get things right, yeah? If you can work and you can still raise your kids and you have to maybe work a bit further, you have to do some longer hours sometimes, but then maybe you get more time off. Maybe you give your whole weekends to your family or something else. Look, that can still work, can't it? It's not that, oh, right, I've got to be there every day. I've got to be there for breakfast, lunch, dinner. I've got to find a way to be home. That's not what it's saying, is it? But what it is saying is that fathers do have a responsibility to raise their children as well. And if you're just going for a job where you're nowhere near, you're just moving away or whatever else, you know, just don't even see your kids, you're out of God's will as well, aren't you? And that, for me, is not judging righteous judgment. Okay, how about women working? Women working. Wicked, isn't it? How evil. Well, look, yeah, ultimately, yeah, the Bible teaches that wives, yeah, especially, I don't think they should be working. Look at, turn to Titus 2, which is talking about the older women in the church being an example to the younger. So Titus 2, and from verse 4, Titus 2:4 says, talk about the older women, teach the younger, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So this is obviously the ideal here, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's the ideal. Men, you need to be finding a way to provide for your wife, those that are married or planning to get married, to be providing for your wife, to be providing for your children, for your wife to be a keeper at home, for your wife to be able to be there loving her children. Okay, because look, at the end of the day, are we loving our children or are we just shoving them off to strangers to look after them? Is that loving our children, really? Is it loving our children when we see a minimal time possible so we can have a bit extra cash? So I can, you know, be the woman who's got this job, because they keep asking me what job I got and I just feel a bit insecure just being a mum. Being a mum is an amazing thing.
Amen.
Yeah, it is an amazing thing. It is an honour, it's a glory, it's something you should be, really, you should be proud of, really, without using the word wrongly there, but you should, look, have some self-respect that being a mum and being, I'll tell you what, being a stay-at-home mum, yeah, I could never do that job. Impossible for me. I would be pulling my hair out within a few hours. Okay, honestly, yeah, it is so hard. It's so difficult. There's so many things that they're having to deal with, and look, it's such an honour and a glory. Yet so poisoned in this world to believe that you're somehow failing if you're a mum. You're somehow a failure because you're looking after your kids at home and you're trying to teach them and trying to be there for them and everything else. Look. They should be getting taught to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. 1 Timothy, turn there to 1 Timothy 5. And this is talking about widows. This is talking about widows who aren't the older widows, under 60. It's saying, but the younger widows refuse, 1 Timothy 5:11, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So he didn't say to him, oh yeah, younger women, you better go out and get a job. Yeah, find someone, family, friends, something else, schooling system, etc. Look after the kids, get out there, get working. No, he said, find a husband. Find a husband, get married, and be a keeper at home. And that is the most honourable thing you could do as a lady. Okay? That's the best thing you do, be in God's will, and be a great mum. Be a great mum, be a great wife. Okay, and you young girls growing up here, don't get poisoned by the world that somehow, well, yeah, but I want to be this and my dream is to be that. Look, just look forward to being a mum, yeah? Look forward to doing what God wants you to do. But, there are some women in different situations, aren't there? Aren't there? There are some women that maybe they didn't get married. Or maybe they're single, maybe they're divorced, maybe they don't have kids, maybe there's many, many different types of situations. So it's easy to just look at the ideal, but whoa, what do we do there? Oh, well, they've just got to, you know, they've got to stay at home on their own, yeah, and just somehow magic the money or something. Well, it doesn't always work, does it? And welfare systems, look, they don't always work either. And of course, God had a different welfare system. We looked at that in the book of Ruth. Well, so what do they do? What sort of job should they be doing? Well, they should be finding a job where they can still love their children. Okay, so look, it doesn't mean, okay, well, now I've got to go out and, well, we need more money because we need some better stuff. A lot of times people look, oh, well, I need to justify the holiday. Yeah, well, my kids need a holiday each year in the Maldives. Yeah, so that's why I'm working long days, long hours, and my unsaved mum's looking after the kids or whatever else. Is that loving your children?
No.
It's not, is it? Now, some, though, might have to go to work. Well, what should they do? Well, I would say try and make sure you don't have a married man as a boss, yeah? Because, look, husbands love their wives. Wives be in subjection to their own husbands. Yeah. Yeah? Okay, you might not be a wife, but you don't want to be in subject to someone else's husband. Okay, because that's a recipe for disaster, isn't it? I would say they're good things to look at. Look at jobs again with the rest of the list where you're not being forced to sin or anything else. And try and look at jobs where you can find a way to still be there for your kids. And sometimes it's not going to be easy, is it? Because you need to provide and stuff. There's now more jobs where you can work from home and other things like that. There are things you can do. But again, just judge righteous judgment. Yeah, make sure you're not going into sin. Make sure that you're still able to love your children, that you're still able to do those things that God wants you to do. And look, there's not a rule for everyone with that, is there? But again, you've got to look, and we're going to talk about it in a minute. You've got to look at it and you've got to say, okay, well, is that really okay? Is that okay working for this guy? I'm now his personal secretary, this married man, and I'm with him 8 hours a day. Is that okay? Do you think that's a good job to be in? No, but there are women in the Bible that do so. We talked about the maidens in the book of Ruth, and there are young women that do jobs and things like that. I personally don't want my daughters out in the workplace. Okay, that's what I believe. I believe I'm basically training them up for marriage, so why am I then going to send them out to the wicked world? I don't want them doing that. But if you decide you want to do that, judge some righteous judgment with that, yeah? Make sure that you're putting them in the right place, not in a dangerous place, not a place where they're going to be poisoned and they're going to have all sorts of guys all over them and the rest of it, yeah? Okay, that's choosing a job, choosing a hobby. How about choosing a hobby? So this is after your work, yeah? And by the way, that includes women at home, your other responsibilities, yeah? This is after church, soul winning, Bible reading, prayer, family responsibilities, after that, yeah? Your hobby doesn't come above any of that, yeah? Okay? Now, some then, after all those things, still have a hobby. Is that a bad thing? Is it a bad thing to have a hobby? Because there are those that, why aren't you just in the Bible when you've got free time? Why aren't you just, you know, everything's the things of God? Well, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And while you turn there, I'm going to read Ecclesiastes 2:24, which says, There is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labour. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. Ecclesiastes 3:13 says, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labour. It is a gift of God. Ecclesiastes 5:18, behold that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labour that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Now, it's not necessarily a bad thing, is it? Yeah, if you can afford it, if you have the time, if you're doing your other responsibilities, you want to have some time doing something else. Well, it says here in Ecclesiastes 5:18, I know you haven't turned there, but don't worry. It says and to enjoy, and it obviously talks about eating and drinking quite a lot. And be careful if you make that a real regular hobby, yeah? Well, that's my hobby. I just eat and drink all day. Yeah, but it says here, and to enjoy the good of all his labour that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life. Now, it's not necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes it's actually a good thing. Sometimes a hobby is actually a good thing. Can you believe that? Well, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8 says, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Now, this verse, if you notice, you could say it in a couple of ways, can't you? Depends how you say it. You could say, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Or you could say, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Okay? Now, either way you say it, it still says that bodily exercise profits a little, doesn't it? Yeah? Bodily exercise profits a little. And we live in a world where the vast majority of jobs nowadays are sedentary jobs, aren't they? Yeah? A jobs where you're not doing very much. Where a lot of jobs, you're sitting there. I was talking to someone the other day who was saying that they're driving all day. They have to do bodily exercise because of how unhealthy it is. And there are many other jobs like that, aren't there? Okay, so we're not designed for that really, are we? I mean, the first man and woman were tending a garden. Okay, and I believe that you should be doing some form of exercise. Now, if your job is some form of exercise, great. If it's not, for health reasons, I would try and do some form of exercise. Okay, but doing some exercise is completely different to obsessing over some exercise, isn't it? Yeah? Completely different to staring in the mirror all day, every day, going, I need to do more exercise because those 2 hours today weren't enough. Yeah? Now, there's a difference, isn't there? But there are sinful hobbies, aren't there? We'll talk about them in a minute. But sport, for me, sport, you do learn quite a lot from sport. For kids, I believe kids should do sport. Now, again, I'm not going to go to a Bible verse. This is from, you know, 1 Opinions chapter 1, verse 1. Okay? I do believe that kids, you should get your kids doing sport. Why do I believe that your kids should do some sport? Because it's character building, because they learn about winning, they learn about losing, they learn about teamwork, they learn about many things like that, because it gets them healthy, it gets them fitter, because they get used to sometimes being uncomfortable and feeling the pain and everything else and working through that, because you get so many lessons from that, and anyone that's done sport will know that. But do we want to try and make our kids the next pro sportsman? Well, no. Hey, look, if they're able to, great. I don't see many of those sorts of things where they're able to do that and not then be in a world of sin and everything else. But do we want them to be healthy? Do we want them to be well-rounded individuals? Yes. Now, there's a balance, isn't there? But what's a sinful hobby then? What sports are sinful? We'll turn to Deuteronomy 22. How about something that forces you to dress in a sinful way? How about a sport that forces you to cross-dress? Is that okay?
No.
It's not, is it? Now, unfortunately, that rules out quite a lot of sports for ladies. And we're going to look at for the men in a minute as well. Deuteronomy 22:5 says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. This is Deuteronomy 22:5. Neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. That's that word abomination again. Something he hates. Something he despises. So you could think about some cross-dressing hobbies, couldn't you, out there? Cross-dressing hobbies which force women to dress like men. Now, there are it works other ways around as well. Obviously, we talked before about the caber tossing or whatever they call it up in Scotland. That's wicked. Yeah, men dressed in skirts, throwing logs around. Like that's wicked, isn't it? That's an abomination to God. But and as well, what about pantomime? Is that okay? You're probably thinking, what? Well, that's quite an old English tradition, yeah? Pantomime. Yeah, people getting up on stage and prancing around like idiots and some guy dressing like a woman. Yeah, it's wicked. Yeah? It's disgusting. And by the way, I used to see a bit of that when I was younger. And it leaves you with like horror images in your mind still of these men in like Lippi and the rest of it, and it's disgusting. So obviously, getting involved in pantomime, if anyone was thinking about it, sorry if I've just cut that out, but you could maybe be the back of the horse or something, but you know, just avoid the rest of it, yeah? But what else is there? Well, what about a lot of sports? A lot of sports for women. Yeah, a lot of sports for women, they have them dressed as men, don't they? Yeah? Dressed in trousers, dressed in shorts, dressed in all. Does God say that's okay because it's sport? Oh, no, it's all right because it's sport. You cross-dress because you're playing a sport. Well, go and play another sport. Go and play a sport that you don't have to do that in. And make a stand. You take your kids to a class, make a stand. Yeah, there's nothing, you can do that, you know? You can make a stand. I've done that before. I've told you before. I did that at a gymnastics class. They told my daughter she was not allowed to do gymnastics with a skirt, which is a skirt down to here and underneath her shorts to keep her privacy. She had leggings underneath as well. No, just got to do it in the leggings. I said, well, she's not doing them in the leggings. They said, well, it's dangerous, health and safety. Health and safety, apparently. Wearing a skirt, doing gymnastics, and they got boys in there with shorts this wide, big long t-shirts. Oh no, that's all right. But a lady dressed as a young lady, no, it's dangerous. Dangerous, so we left. Okay, so we left. Amen. And that was that. And okay, oh no, she's not gonna be able to do such a good cartwheel anymore. Oh, God's gonna be really angry with me, isn't he? No, he's not. He's gonna say, good on you, you made a stand. I made it clear why I was making that stand. And when I did that, they said to me, oh, well, talk to whatever her name is, because she's a Muslim, she understands. She's standing in a pair of trousers. Standing in a pair of trousers, but she's covering her arms. Oh, well, that's all right, you know. But talk to this one, she's Jehovah's Witness, she knows a bit about this. She's standing there dressed as a man as well, in a pair of trousers. Well, what are they? I try to be polite, obviously, you know, but what are they gonna tell you? I mean, oh yeah, go talk to the fake religions and everything else. No, so look again, make those choices. But there are things they can do. What about swimming? Oh, what about swimming? But and it is, your kids should learn to swim, shouldn't they? Yeah, I think it's quite a life skill. Yeah, it's quite safe to do if you can, if you're able to. Yeah, try and teach them to swim. What do you do about young girls though? Because how do they get in the water without basically showing all their thighs? Okay, and thighs are nakedness, aren't they? Yeah, the Bible's clear about that. You have to turn to Exodus 28:42. Says, thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness from the loins even unto the thighs. They shall reach, and they shall be upon Aaron and upon his sons when they come into the tabernacle of the congregation, or when they come near unto the altar to minister in the holy place, that they bear not iniquity and die. It shall be a statute forever unto them and his seed after him. Okay, the Bible's clear that thighs are nakedness. Okay, so what do we do about that then? Get them a swim skirt. Yeah, my daughter goes swimming in a swim skirt. She goes to a swimming class and does lengths with other kids in a swim skirt. Oh, she looks so weird. No, she actually looks like she has some decency. Right. Yeah, she doesn't look like she's got everything on show. It's disgusting, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it wicked? But she goes and she swims in a swim skirt. And you know what? She keeps up with everyone else in a swim skirt. Oh, she's not quite so streamlined. So what? Yeah, so what? But she's pleasing God. But he's looking down and going, how good and faithful servant. Yeah? Amen. You're listening to what I said and you're doing it. And look, I'm not trying to say, look how great we're. Look, we've got many things wrong. We'll continue to get many things wrong. But what I'm trying to give you is an example that you can do it. Yeah, you can do it. You don't have to just, well, bend to the world. Oh, what might people say? And if they had a problem with the swim skirt, I'll say, see you later then. Yeah? Bye-bye. Okay, we'll go somewhere else. Yeah? Who will take our money? And look, you can do it. Yeah? Okay. What about, but I'm sorry, I'm picking on the women a bit here, because sadly it seems that the women and the kids are just, you know, I'll just send your little girl out in next to nothing. Is that okay? Is that okay? Would it be okay if she went down the shops like that? Why is it okay? Because it's a pool of water. Why is it okay when it's down, oh, well, it's okay down the beach. Oh, well, we've gone to the beach, so it's okay for her to have her bum out forever. It's disgusting, isn't it? Isn't it? Whatever age. And any of you mums here, don't go out dressed like that. Right. Yeah, dress properly. And find something to put over yourself. Because what you're doing, you're becoming a problem for other people then as well. Okay, but what about men? What, men in your little short sports? Yeah? short sport. They love a short sport, don't they? Look at some old football clip the other day on YouTube. Wow, those shorts were short. What were they playing at? You know, I thought there's more decency in the old days, but I mean, they were literally hot pants. Yeah, it is. It's disgusting. And you look at it thinking, how on earth did, like, who even just said that was okay? And people just follow this stuff. Oh, well, that's normal. Look, if your sport makes you have short shorts, stop the sport. Or find a way to have long shorts with it, and you can. I've said many times before, Muay Thai, Thai boxing, yeah, they wear short shorts, they look queer. So I started doing it and coach it with long shorts on. When people ask me, I tell them why, and it's a good introduction to then talking, amen, preaching the gospel to them as well, yeah?
Amen.
Okay, so there are just some obvious things there that I was thinking of, and I'm sure you could think of many, many others, yeah? 1 Timothy 2:9 says, if you're there, you can turn there. Just in case you're wondering with that, with the women, you're thinking, well, it says in like manner also in 1 Timothy 2:9 that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. So women should adorn themselves in modest apparel. And that includes whether you're at the swimming baths, at the beach, in the sports, whatever it is. And in the same way, you shouldn't be cross-dressing. Yeah? Don't cross-dress. God says it's an abomination. Okay, but also, like I said, with the men, that means ditch the Speedos. Yeah? Any of you guys that like to go swimming in the Speedos because you save a split point one off your time of the length, yeah? Ditch the Speedos. They're disgusting. They're vile. And I don't think anyone here wears Speedos. I hope not, anyway. But like I said, there's many other sports. Now, here's another sport. Like, this is a question I got asked, yeah? And I heard this a lot. So when I first got saved, I went to one of these churches where they were kind of liberal in some areas, but, oh, they really frowned upon fight sports. You know, the part of the ex-parts would go, oh, when are you going to give it up, Ian? This is what they actually said to us. What? Other people were just, you know, really, oh, Thai box, ooh, well, maybe you need to look to do something else. But why is that? Anyone wonder why that is? Well, firstly, with that, you need to get the clothing right, yeah? So obviously, in any of those fight sports, it's not okay if you're baring your thighs, if you're dressing like a woman. I don't think there's many fight sports where you have to dress like a woman. But if you did, yeah, that wouldn't be right. And same with if a young lady decided, a man thinks, well, I wanted to learn a bit of self-defense or something, well, make sure she's not dressing like a man to do it, yeah? Okay, but secondly, is it religious? That's a good question for it, because there are kung fus and other things where they start going on about magical chi power and everything else, yeah? And you know, and there's all this Buddhist and New Age mysticism involved in it. And by the way, that includes yoga. Anyone wondering about that? Yoga is wicked. Amen. Yeah, yoga is praying in all sorts of poses to snake gods snake poses to whatever weird god or higher power they're praying to. It is wicked. Yeah, do Pilates. Do Pilates, okay? It's not spiritual. It doesn't have any... If you want to do that sort of thing, you like stretching and like someone telling you how to stretch, go and do it. Don't do yoga. Amen. Yeah? It's spiritual. You're praying to devils, okay? You're getting prostrate to devils, yeah. Okay? Cut that out, okay? Amen. Okay, but what about the fight sports? Okay, you cut out, okay, it's not religious. Yeah, you've ticked that off, okay? I'm not dressing like a woman, okay, if you're a man doing it. And let's be honest, we'll talk about that in a second with fight sports, women as well. Okay, then the question is, but it's fighting. You're meant to be a Christian. No, it's not fighting. It's a sport. Yeah, get that in your head. It's a sport. Anyone who wonders this, who's sitting there, like, look, if someone jumped up here and wanted to fight me now, I tell you the last thing they would do was stop there, get on some boxing gloves, get some on their gum shield, get on a groin guard, yeah? At the least, yeah? Then get, Brother Alex, you come and referee us here, please, as well, because he's really angry with me right now, yeah? So we need a referee. The rest of you, could you all judge it as well, just in case it doesn't go to a finish and we end up having to go to the judges' scorecards, yeah? And then on top of that, guys, you know, with that as well, there's going to be certain things that we can and can't do. So, you know, Brother Gary there, he's really got the hump with me now, but okay, no biting, no eye gouging. Look, that's not a fight, is it? That's agreed rules between two consenting people, yeah, with a load of other parameters there. It's a sport. In the same way that when a rugby player charges into someone, lifts them up and slams them on the head on the floor, yeah, it's not a fight. They're playing a sport. Now, yes, some people in a fight might lift someone up and stand them on the head. And other people in a fight might punch someone in the face or knee them or elbow them or whatever it is, or maybe choke them on the floor or something else, yeah? It's not a fight, it's a sport. And it's amazing, isn't it, how people just get pulled in and sucked into this holier-than-thou nonsense. Right. Yeah, because where does the Bible say, thou shalt not do a contact sport? Well, so then people go, oh, I'm still not convinced, Brother Ian. Yeah? Have you read the Bible? Have you read the Bible? Yeah, have you read the Old Testament, where God is literally sending his children out to slay whole nations? The women and children of those wicked nations as well. We need to wipe them out. Where they're literally hacking through people with swords and everything else. Oh, but suddenly he's got a bit squeamish, isn't he? Suddenly, oh yeah, but I don't want them to like get touched now, because, you know, well, they might get got huge pillows on your hands. You literally have pillows on your hands in boxing and things. Oh, yeah, well, oh, you might get hit with a pillow. Oh, but go out, rip a jawbone, yeah? By the way, Samson, the Holy Spirit came upon him. Right. He ripped a jawbone out of a living donkey and then slayed 1,000 people with it whilst the Holy Ghost had come upon him. Yeah? Oh, but you better not punch someone with a pillow on your hand. Who's agreed to get punched by you? Isn't it preposterous? But do you know how many people believe this? How many people are like, it's wicked, oh, it's evil, it's everything else? Look, you don't have to turn there. Like I said, have you read the Bible? The Bible which says in Psalm 144:1, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. David said God taught his hands to war and his fingers to fight. Oh, but that was Old Testament, wasn't it? Oh, that was Old Testament. Has God changed?
No.
Has God changed? Yeah, look. I'm not trying to suggest we have a physical war going on here, okay? I'm not going to tell you all to don arms and get out there and slay the sodomites of South Bend and everything else, yeah? Yeah. It's tempting. Okay. But what I am saying is that God hasn't suddenly become a bit, shy about that sort of thing. Yeah, and oh, no. Look. Nothing like God's not looking down and going, I can't stand the blood anymore. Yeah, or anything else. Look, it's a sport. If you've got time and you can tick all the other boxes and you've got time and you want to do a bit of that, do that sport. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, look, it's ridiculous. But like I said, yes, I know that we're not a physical nation fighting those battles anymore. But look, some say this, they go, yeah, but aren't you a temple of the Holy Spirit? Ah, they got you there, didn't they? You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. While sitting there eating who knows what that they haven't even read the ingredients of, guzzling whatever else that they've never read the ingredients of, or they even have, and they're like, I don't even care, I don't even know what 50 of those ingredients are. Glug, 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 glug. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, don't do a spot, you might get injured. Funny that, because wasn't Paul a temple of the Holy Spirit? I mean, I think the Spirit was pretty full up in him as well, wasn't it? And didn't Paul, whilst being a temple of the Holy Spirit, get 39 lashes 3 times, was it? Didn't he get beaten? Didn't he get stoned halfway to death? God didn't seem so fussed about that, did he? God actually, it seems, a lot of the time, actually put him into those situations. Yeah, Now, I'm not saying abuse your body. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is it's ridiculous. Yeah, these are sports with rules and everything else. So turn to Matthew 23, because with this sort of thing, and you could look at this in many areas, okay? This is just one example that I dealt with a lot at the beginning. It was, you know, I was Googling when I was first saved, is boxing, I tried Thai boxing, but there wasn't enough of that, yeah? Because it wasn't popular enough. Is boxing okay for a Christian? Yeah, you'd be amazed at what sort of stuff comes up, yeah? I was Googling Christianity, yeah? And yeah, I came up with some wicked lies and everything else about it. Well, Matthew 23 and verse 23 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. And that's you're a temple of the Holy Ghost type thing, whilst literally living in wickedness. While most of the people that say this aren't even saved, you're so aggressive, whilst tolerating all sorts of just you name it, false doctrine and the rest of it. The cross-dressing, like most of these people that say it's a cross-dressing, cross-dressing abominations to God. Yeah, oh, but, and whatever it is, straining at whatever gnat it is and swallowing a camel. And like I said, with that, they're more likely to accept women in those sports now, aren't they? Even these types of people, well, that's okay. But, oh, well, men can't be aggressive because they've decided that, that a man should just be this, basically the Church of England vicar. Yeah, that is a godly man, because that's what the TV tells you is a godly man, doesn't it? Some guy that talks very softly like this and you know, walks a bit like this. And apparently that's a Christian according to the world, isn't it? Is that a Christian? Have you seen a man like that in the Bible? Seen a man like that in the Bible? No, I see real men in the Bible. Yeah, I see real men that would cut that guy's head off. Yeah, without even thinking, they wouldn't even give him a chance. They'd just cut his head off straight away. Yeah, and tear down the rest of the sodomites' houses at the same time, wouldn't they?
Amen.
Because I'm so meek and mild. I'm such a good Christian. What are you talking about? That's not what the Bible says, does it? Yeah, it says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Amen. Yeah. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. And by the way, on that as well, notice how Jesus had an all-night wrestling match with Jacob. Yeah, all-night wrestling match. And he did a little submission move on him, put his hip out of joint. Yeah? That's Jesus Christ, by the way. Yeah? He wasn't... don't hurt me, because I'm so big. And he was playing with him. He was just going just the right level, wasn't he? You know, he was just going just sort of like any of you guys that ever do these sorts of sports, when you're with somebody who's a bit of a novice, you just play with them, and he was just entertaining him, wasn't he? He could have twisted him up in less than a second, couldn't he? Yeah. But he let it go for the whole night. That's Jesus Christ, by the way. What did it say? Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. So I sort out you rotten heart, you hypocrites. So people that come out of this rubbish, you holier than thous, because that's what they are, aren't they? Holier than thous, yeah. Trying to lift up their own holiness with some rules that aren't even there in the Bible, because it comes from their own wickedness. That's what it comes from. When people are insecure about their own wickedness, then they like to project their own holiness onto you in other ways. Says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And they know it, don't they? That's why they have to make their own judgments, because they don't know the rules, do they? They don't know the rules. But look, it's ridiculous, isn't it? It's ridiculous. Now, I've even added it into, sorry, that's it. I had a guy that come here, yeah. He come here just to let you know about this the other day. And he was like a real character, yeah. And he's come to collect all the metal. And he, you know, some people just have a catchphrase, don't they? And all he just kept saying, anything anyone said, he'd just go, "You know the rules." Yeah. "You know the rules." The skip truck guy was like, "Yeah, I'll move out in a minute." He's gone, "I'll park there, you know the rules." And then I actually managed to preach him the gospel. Yeah, the guy was, I thought, pretty open and everything else, and he wanted to chat about it. And got to the end, he didn't want to call in the name of the Lord. I said, "Where are you going to go, though, if you got run over now on the way home? Where are you going to go?" He's gone, "You know the rules." Yeah, you know. I'm really glad. I really wanted him to come back. If he came back, because I said to him, "Come and get those gas cans. If he come back, you guys would like this guy. It's funny." But anyway, yeah, he knows the rules. And a lot of people know the rules deep down, but they're just trying to project their own holiness, aren't they? Well, okay, that's some sorts. What about weightlifting? What about weightlifting? And I'm going to hurry up a little bit through this, because for sake of time. But, well, here's the thing with weightlifting. What's your motivation? So what's your motivation? Is it to get stronger? Is it to get fitter? Is it to be healthier? Or are you staring at yourself in the mirror? Yeah? Are you staring at yourself in the mirror the whole time? Look, let's be honest. Look, mirrors are there for a reason. People do look in the mirror. Yeah? We're not going to pretend that if you're wicked if you ever glance in a mirror. Yeah? Look, some people have some self-respect. Yeah? Some people might look at themselves and go, "Yeah, well, you know, I prefer to look a little bit more like this." But if you're obsessing over that, yeah? If you're just staring in the mirror, if you're just constantly top off, doing the poses, you know, all this stuff. Is that right? Is that one of them ones? And all that stuff. If you're like, every time you pick up a drink, you're just like, in front of people and stuff. You're out of God's will there, aren't you? Yeah, and again, you got that wrong. Yeah, and that becomes an obsession, doesn't it? And everything else. And look, that, I've been you know around many gyms, and look, for many people, that can become a big problem in their life, doesn't it? Because then suddenly it's not enough. They need more. They need to be there more. They need to do more. Then it starts creeping into to steroids and other things like that a lot of the time as well. And that's absolutely crazy, isn't it? Yeah. Poison your body to look like a moron. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Yeah. So obviously with that, you know, you've got to get your motivation right with that. But look, nothing wrong with wanting to be a bit strong. Nothing wrong with enjoying that sort of sport. Nothing wrong with enjoying adding weight on and trying to get stronger and stronger. That's quite fun for many people. Not, it's, you know, I've done a bit of it. Not you know, it's not a big thing for me. I prefer sports, like more kind of sports which have some skill, like more skill. Maybe, and don't get me wrong, there's some skill in some powerlifting and things like that. And look, everyone has their own sort of thing is what I'm trying to say. And you have your own likes and dislikes. Nothing wrong with that. But obviously, if you start obsessing over your body and your image and stuff, then you're going off there, aren't you? Now, because basically what you're doing, you're making your physique some sort of idol. That's what happens. You're making your physique an idol, and any of these things, if you put, and that goes for any of it. Like, oh yeah, well I love boxing, but is boxing becoming more important than God? Yeah, is whatever sport, whatever hobby, and look, I've only just touched sports, there are many, many hobbies out there. Are they now becoming more important than the things of God? Because if they are, now you've made that an idol, haven't you? And if you made that an idol, yeah, then no, it's wrong. Yeah. And again, you need to judge righteous judgment on that, don't you? Okay. Is it more important than your Bible reading? Yeah. Do you miss your Bible reading to go to the gym in the morning or to go somewhere in the evening? Is it more important than your soul winning? Is it more important than church attendance? There are people that don't go to church because, well, yeah, but I wanted to train that night. I wanted to do whatever it is, whatever hobby it is. Because God said, you know, God said, husbands, especially here, because a lot of men like their hobbies, don't they? He said, love your wives, not love your biceps, yeah? Not love your pecs, yeah? And the rest of it. So, okay, last one, we'll be quick here. Choosing entertainment. How about choosing entertainment? Turn to Psalm 101. Obviously, we want to avoid sinful things. Psalm 101, from verse 1, reads, Psalm 101 verse 1, I will sing of mercy and judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. So singing to God is a good form of entertainment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, singing to God, playing instruments. Yeah, and so you could, obviously there's a crossover between entertainment and hobby now. But some people have a hobby of playing an instrument. That's a good thing to do, isn't it? But is that okay when you're playing or singing wicked worldly songs? Yeah. Mm. Oh, well, I'm singing to God, but I'm singing about, you know, I won't even say. You can imagine the sort of topics and stuff that sadly are sung about a lot. Well, definitely listening to people singing about wickedness isn't good either. You know, I've turned a bit. Ecclesiastes 7:5 says, it is better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. Yeah? Better to get rebuked and told off by someone than it is to hear all these fools making their foolish songs about foolish subjects. It's foolishness, isn't it? And look, in the same way, look, just because they call it Christian, yeah, but it's completely in the world's way, and look, it's not okay. And when you look at the lyrics of all that stuff as well, it's at the least just complete empty nonsense, really. You know, God is love or something else. Or a lot of the time it's false doctrine as well. So you want to be careful with that as well, because music is powerful, isn't it? Yeah, music is really powerful. And you find yourself humming along to music. You find yourself humming along to bad music sometimes. Music that's just got in your head that you've heard. You want to make sure that it's to something that's not poisoning you with something. Look, people get poisoned by the lyrics of it, obviously. Make sure that it's something good there. And for me, just good traditional, clear doctrine hymns. Oh, you, what, so, you fuddy-duddy, you old boring guy. Well, what's wrong with that? Yeah, don't you like singing to God? Yeah, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with like singing together? They're nice. Anyone not enjoy the hymns that we sing here?
I love them.
Yeah, I love them, yeah. Listen to them, sing along to them. Brilliant. Verse 2, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Okay, not just when you come to church, okay? This is talking about when he's at home, isn't it? Yeah? Not just when you're at church in front of everyone. That's walking with a perfect... I've got the right attire on at home, and then I get home and it's, you know, straight into my jogging bottoms, ladies, and my tight jeans and my skinny jeans, men, and my, you know, and whatever else. Get the right short shorts on now I've got home. It's summertime. Yeah? Is that okay? And the rest of it, yeah? How about... How about verse 3? It says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. And that rules out most of what's on television, doesn't it? Yeah, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. That's the vast majority of what's on the television. Yeah, and look, if you think you can find something which isn't obviously sinful, and there are things that aren't obviously sinful, okay, you don't have to be a holier than thou, right? That's never, you know, I would never even look at something on the TV. Look, sometimes there can be a thing. I'd say live TV is pretty risky, but there are things you can find that are recorded. You can obviously, you know, I'm sounding a bit old now. You can get the VHS out and put it in, you know, and if you put a sticky tape over the bit, then you can record over it as well. But no, I'm not talking out loud. But look, you can find things, can't you? But again, you need to be discerning with that, don't you? Because you want to be careful not to be casting wickedness before your eyes. Verse 4 says, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privily slandereth his neighbour, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. Right, you wouldn't have them in your house, would you? Yeah? David doesn't want to know them. He wants to cut them off, doesn't he? So why have them in your house talking to you on the TV? Yeah, why have some wicked pervert amusing you on the TV? Yeah, it sounds to me like he's pretty much in your house. In fact, a lot of the time, what's on the TV is more in people's house than, you know, their neighbour or friend or anyone else, really, isn't it? What about talking to your kids? Yeah, are you just shoving on the TV and putting your kids in front of it? Who even are these people making? Do you know who's making that show? Do you know what the motivation? Do you know what your kids are being? Do you know what's being said to your kids? Honestly, it's not okay. It's not okay. Like, listen, take it from me. There are many, many wicked people making kids shows. Yeah. Okay? Look at Walt Disney. Yeah? What a, like, Walt Disney, the most famous one, full of perverts, isn't it? Absolutely full of them. Yeah? And they've come out recently, haven't they? With some of their queer intentions and everything else. It is disgusting. Yet, how many parents, sadly, will just go, right, TV, but, well, that's all right. No way. Don't set anything wicked thing before your eyes or your kids' eyes. And look, you might find something that's okay. Yeah? You might find something, you might find a show that you think, and there are some things out there that are okay. So again, it's not, right, that's it, a kid can never see anything on some sort of digital screen. Yeah? Look, again, judge righteous judgment. Yeah? Judge righteous judgment, but they're our kids, yeah? We want to love our kids and not poison them with filth and rubbish and who knows what and you don't know what. Okay. And with that, watching sports documentaries, again, look, you have to be discerning with that as well. I mean, I tried to find a football clip of something recently and they were wearing rainbow laces, yeah, and promoting faggotry. So, again, seriously, you'd be amazed. You get involved, like, and then I looked into it. I was looking at one of the teams. They were sending people, they were sending representatives of LGBTQ plus, you know, brainwash, to the academies of that club to teach the kids. So they're basically getting, you send your kid off to a football, oh, they might make it. I might get rich, you know? My kid's gonna be really rich and everyone's gonna think we're really cool because they play football. But they're getting brainwashed with faggotry most days, or at least, you know, most weeks, most months, they're just sending these people regularly to keep brainwashing them and brainwashing them. Unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable. So again, you have to be careful with that stuff, don't you? Documentaries, that just because it says documentary doesn't mean it's okay, does it? Again, there are some good documentaries out there. Okay, but again, righteous judgment. Okay, so that is a lot of entertainment out the window. But there are lots of things you can do, aren't there? Doesn't have to be what our world does. Our world just wants to sit in front of a screen, yeah? Whether it's a video game, and by the way, a video game, you know, can be very addictive and there can be a lot of wickedness on them. Again, I'm not saying every video game's wicked, but what I am saying is, again, have a look at it, yeah? Think, what is it that you're playing? What is it that you're just doing for hours on end? And if you're brought under the power of it, 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Make sure you're not being brought under the power of that, because that quickly becomes an idol, or at least an addiction, doesn't it? Well, there are other things, though. Walks, parks, play areas, eating and drinking. And eating and drinking can be nice. Nice food, good food, having fellowship time, etc. Look, there's many things you can do, aren't there? And there's many things that aren't sinful, but it's easy. They give the ease of use, the button on, whether it's the TV, on the internet, social media, you have to be wise with, don't you? I'm going to have to hurry up here. So one thing I just wanted to say as well, and obviously, you know, there's board games, all these good things you could do. Be careful with reading as well. A lot of people, oh, it's a book, it's okay. Oh, it's a book. Just my kids can read books. Look, you know, me and my wife, like, we, you know, it's something we've thought about a lot, because look, when you're in a book, you can be a lot of hours in a book each day. Yeah, yeah. We had to start putting limits and caps and be careful about what books we allow our kids to read, because that's a lot of time you're getting brainwashed, aren't you? Mm. And are you going to sit through and read through every, especially when your kids start getting older and it's not just a 2-minute kid's story. And by the way, be careful with a lot of them as well. There's a lot of cross-dressing in them. There's a lot of weird stuff. Yeah, I remember we had this book, yeah, called The Smartest Giant in Town. Anyone seen that? Anyone ever had that? Yeah, yeah. Yeah. In his frock, in his gown, yeah? So this is giant who's like trying to, I think he gets all this new clothing and then he starts stripping it off to help all these animals. But before he's like, he's and then at the end he's going, I just want my gown back. He's wearing a nightie. but like, it's quite a popular, and it, at first you kind of don't really think, you just, you know, and then we binned it. But anyway, yeah, but that's just one, and that was like meant to be a fairly like, it's not like there's some real bad ones out there. So, look, again, be careful with that. Be careful with what your kids are reading and everything else. And obviously yourselves as well. You're just engrossed in some book. What is it that you're really thinking about the whole time? And it might not be wicked, yeah? Try not to get engrossed in it, though. You have to have some discipline. Okay, we're just about there. So, sorry about it. It's gone over time. Okay, it comes back to judging righteous judgment, okay? Turn back to John chapter 7. Because how do you get that right? So how do you get that right? Because, there's so many minefields. You know, it is like a minefield, isn't it? Oh, well, yeah, but do I do this? Do I do that? What do I do? Well, John chapter 7, and from verse 17, Jesus said this. John 7, 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. So get in the will of God, yeah? Get in the will of God, make sure you're in the will of God, make sure you're basically saying, thy will be done. Yeah, you're going to get it wrong. Yeah, you're going to sin. Yeah, you're going to slip up. Yeah, you're going to have bad times, but thy will be done, not mine. Yeah, if that's how you're trying to live, that's how you're trying to do things, then I think you're going to be much better at judging righteous judgment, aren't you? Yeah, when you're trying to seek the glory of him, when you're trying to do things for him, yeah, you might have some time to do a hobby. Oh, that means I'm going to be, that's it, you know, Bible, church, or soul winning all day, every day when I'm not working. No, there's going to be times when you have free time. There's going to be things when you're in the will of God, you're going to be able to make that righteous judgment more. Don't forget, yeah, being in the will of God doesn't mean, right, well, if it feels good, yeah? Okay, remember Jeremiah 17:9 says, a heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yeah? Okay? Again, it still has to line up with the word of God. Amen. Oh, well, I'm in the will. Oh, well, I seem to be going to church and soul winning. I read my Bible, so now anything that I fancy doing is okay. No, it doesn't work like that, does it? Yeah, obviously, if you're reading your Bible and you're paying attention to your Bible and you're living your Bible, then you're going to start to know, you're going to start to feel that pricking and start to think about those things when they come up, which clearly are against what God wants you to be doing. But it comes from being saved, it comes from being in the will of God. Last bit, Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord and thy thoughts shall be established. Yeah? That's where you want to be, don't you? That's our goal, that's where we want to be. If we commit our works unto the Lord, then our thoughts shall be established, and then we're more able to judge that righteous judgment, especially in these main areas of our life. And on that, let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Just the many examples you give us, the many ways you help us with making these decisions. You know, in all these many, many areas of life, we can still just go to the Word of God, and it gives us the ability to judge righteous judgment. Please help us to all do that. Help us to just be in your will in all that we do, to commit our works unto you so our thoughts are established. Help us to want to do that. Help us to want to serve you, to want to live for you. Please just help us to have a good day now. Help the soul winning to go great, to get many people saved, and help men's preaching night tonight to be a great success for everyone to be filled with the Spirit and preach edifying sermons. In Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen. Amen.